See, we kind of have a thing about the word furnishing because it comes around with furniture and furnishings. And so all of us have furnishings within our house, and some of those things to us are really cool, right? We spend a lot of time messing with it. So when you use the word furnishing, it makes it more personal. It makes it feel like something, you know, it's not that just out there supply. Supply sounds like some industrial equipment company, right? But furnishing sounds like maybe, you know, in your house or in your office. It's a different kind of thing. So I was sharing that with him. He got delighted. So I think he's probably going to be saying that this morning. Furnishing, the one furnishing to you the Spirit, that would be Jesus. The one furnishing to you the Spirit and energeo, okay? Not just working, energizing. Energizing the dunamis, that's plural. And we said you can use powers or abilities, and I go through that over and over again, right? Somebody tell me what I'm going to say. If you have the ability, then you apparently have the power. You have to have the power in order to have the ability. So those words are kind of interchangeable. They're like two parts of the same thing, right? So the one furnishing to you the Spirit and energizing the abilities contained in you out from the hearing, not just physical hearing, but hearing until you see it, akouo, that's how this stuff works, right? So these powers that Paul was enumerating are also abilities. And Jesus is the one furnishing to you the Spirit so that these energizing that happens to you will energize those abilities that are there in you. Some of those because you're a man, woman, or child. You're a humankind. And some of them because the Spirit has brought them because they weren't there before. And we just had a lot of fun last week talking about all this stuff. So that's been where we've been in a nutshell now for at least the last six, really kind of over into 7 weeks. And I want to continue there with a little bit different track, but it's going to keep going. Because how can you say this? People hear this. It's been going on for centuries and centuries and centuries. People hear this, they see this, they believe this, they want to walk in this, and then they try to do it, and it doesn't seem like it's happening. And so you really only got a few choices here. You can A, say, okay, it's just not really true. In which case, you have a dilemma. Because if this part's not true, or you can't take it literally, then how about the other stuff? I mean, like, if he's really not shining the light of the knowledge of God exceeding physical reality or human knowledge into you, if you can't really be filled with his fullness, that totality of divine powers, if this can't happen, then how is it you can get saved? What about that? You understand what I'm saying? So if you choose the one that, well, maybe it's just not true, that's a dilemma. That's a problem for you, right? However, there are other people who try to walk in it. I have one friend that used to tell me that over and over years ago. It's just not true because it hadn't happened to me. And going back decades, especially back in the day, back in the 70s when the charismatic renewal was happening and people in denominational churches were getting baptized in the Holy Ghost and signs and wonders started taking place and gifts started being in operation, and it messed up a lot of churches and a lot of people. And there were so many discussions there where people, even the people who said, okay, it's Apparently, it's not passed away. Apparently, it's still here. But if God wanted it for me, it would just happen to me because, okay, maybe you experienced, but I hadn't experienced it, so it must not be for everybody, et cetera, right? So you can take that step. That's number two. Or you can take the stance where, if you want to say that way, maybe I'm coming from, and that is, it just hadn't happened yet. Yet. Well, how long is the yet? I don't know, but I'm firmly convinced. What did I say? I'm firmly convinced that these things are true. That when you open this book and you read these things, and we're going to get there with my one of my new favorite words, we're going to get there. But it's all true. And as that knowledge is being shined into us, we have to grow up into it. Do you understand that? Paul wrote in Ephesians, was that the fourth chapter? We are to grow up into him, talking about Jesus. Grow up into him in all things. Grow up into means that's going to take some time and some process. It takes some effort. And probably going to be some mistakes. Probably going to be some places where we just miss it completely. Maybe some places where we got off on the wrong foot and have to turn around and go, you understand what I'm saying? But you don't quit. Because these things are true. So, we're going to look over to somewhere that we're all familiar with, been here before, in 2 Peter, first chapter. We're going to look at verses 2 through 4. Going to go a little bit slowly. Peter writes and says, grace and peace, irene, like safety, security, prosperity, harmony, unity with God, all of that general well-being, all of it there. Peace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you, contained in, and here we go again, contained in the knowledge of God. The word there from knowledge is epignosis. Y'all are familiar with it. Gnosis is knowledge. Epignosis literally is like upon knowledge. What that means is building on the knowledge. Okay? Grace and peace be multiplied to you, contained in the building of the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power. So here we are again. His divine power. And I had not noticed, kind of ashamed of myself, hadn't really noticed that we see has given to us, right?